Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready? Then brace yourself.
This is Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
Loveline is on now.
It sure as hell does. Welcome to Loveline episode. Are we keeping track now? Is it 12?
Doce.
That's not 12, is it?
Si.
All right. You know, Tara, you're a bit newer to radio than Muggs and I. Mm-hmm. But if you want a really good radio tip, is you should always talk about things that are visual that the listening audience has no way of appreciating. And so may I plug that we're in a very fancy schmancy studio today.
Yeah.
We're going to be joined by Nick Hexum of 311, which I thought was a real scoop. And then I said, Muggs, look into the K-Rock archives and see if we've ever had 311 or Nick Hexum. Maybe he's never done Loveline.
Right.
Maybe this is a real get. Muggs told me he's been on Loveline like more than anybody ever. So he'll return to Loveline to talk all about this brand new project he is out. It's a solo project, which means more to probably guys like Muggs and I, lead singer of 311. But he's the lead singer of a very famous band.
Yes.
And now he has a solo project out.
Yes.
Tara's... Admittedly,
I was able to appreciate the music and the show at the Acoustic Christmas.
I feel like you were appreciating Nick, though, visually.
Yes.
You are a very visual person.
I have no shame in appreciating Nick visually.
Yes. Name three 311 songs fast.
And men.
I'm sure Muggs will say something out of pocket. Just wait. So Nick Hexum is coming up. We're also going to get to your questions that you could be sending in via voicemail, text, or calling 1-833-LOVE-191. And let's dive into, actually, before we even get to some stories in the news this week, which we like to do on Loveline, Muggs spent the night in the hospital last night. Is that what happened?
No.
Well, it wasn't the night in the hospital. It was an urgent care visit. And this was...
Wait, so you didn't even go to the hospital?
The urgent care counts as the hospital.
No, it doesn't.
What are you talking
about? Did you go to a strip mall last night? Was this urgent care in a strip mall?
This was a legitimate hospital.
Was this in a strip mall?
No.
Was there a Pollo Loco very near close to this?
It was a medical complex. A gigantic state-of-the-art medical complex.
I thought you said a mental complex. And I said, that sounds a little bit more accurate.
Anyways, I went to urgent care, which counts as a hospital, legit place, after something that happened to me about 4 weeks ago.
Oh.
Okay, so something happened to you 4 weeks ago.
Something happened to me 4 weeks
ago. I just want to bring the audience up, not to interrupt you, but you did say this was going to be a good story, right?
Yes.
Okay. So this happened 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
And you went to an urgent care, not a hospital, last night. And you're still wearing, you can watch this on youtube.com/KROQ.
Whoa.
But if you're listening to the podcast or the radio show, he came to work tonight wearing his badge like he was at the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just reminds me how important it is to really like go to the hospital when you realize it's time.
Yes.
4 weeks ago, I bought this deodorant. I won't mention the brand name or anything like that. It's one that I've used for a very, very, very long time. I don't get the antiperspirant. I just get the deodorant because your armpits are naturally supposed to sweat. Mm-hmm. So I've been buying this deodorant for many years, like I said, and it was a new scent and I really loved it. And when I bought it, I put a bunch on, like more than I
normally... Did you have a date? Were you going
to
see a woman?
Nope, just wanted to smell like this deodorant. So I put more on than I normally would.
Wait, did you put a lot on, and then what did you do after that?
I was like an adult.
Does it not fascinate you what he does?
Like, I didn't want to smell bad.
Not here. Because I've never seen him in the wild.
Oh.
So it's kind of like Bigfoot or like... I don't know, some sort of like perverted superhero. What does he do?
Thank you.
When you're not at work. And so you put all this deodorant on.
Yeah, it was
and
a
you didn't hang out with a woman.
It was a Friday.
Okay.
Took a shower, put on this deodorant that I just bought, that I just re-upped.
Okay.
And from Friday to about Sunday midway, Friday was my last shower. And what had happened was I put so much of this deodorant on. Gradually, I didn't see it happening, but it was already clogged in my follicles.
Oh.
In my armpit.
Is that the antiperspirant stuff?
No antiperspirant. Are you listening? I said deodorant.
No, but I thought... No, I remember in all seriousness, I remember in health class, they told us like not to...
Because of aluminum?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, this was non-antiperspirant, okay. Just deodorant.
Okay.
The antiperspirant, they say there's aluminum in it and it's not good for you.
Okay.
Anyway, that's part of the reason I don't use antiperspirant. But I put so much of this deodorant on, it clogged my pores. And in about 3 days from that point, so like from about Sunday to like Wednesday, I started getting a rash under my arm. And it was like a, it looked like pimples. Like I had 2, 3, maybe 4 pimples.
Oh, that's alarming.
I was like, maybe it's just that, this is like a little rash from that deodorant. Yeah. Week 2, one of them gets like really big. And it looks like a, it's disgusting. It looks like a zit.
Okay.
So there's like a zit in my armpit with, among like 3 or 4 other things. Oh. I love how we're talking about this in like one of the nicest studios, by the way. And so,
he also did promise this had something to do with Loveline. He comes up to me and it, first off, I don't notice what's on his wrist. And he goes, hey, you see what happened?
It's health, man.
Well, no, no, no. And so I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, are you okay? And this happened last night. And I thought that was just odd to still have it on. And he promised this had something to do with Loveline. So
okay.
Now we have a zit in your armpit.
Okay.
So now we got a zit in my armpit week 2 amongst like other like kind of like just red pimples.
Yes.
But like not whiteheads.
We can imagine.
Right. So at the end of week 2, the thing pops.
Oh.
And
are you here when it pops?
No, no, no. I was at home. Thank God.
Okay.
And there was...
Why was that your question?
I just...
There was pustules forming from...
This is very descriptive.
Okay? We're on Loveline, right?
Yeah.
So that happens, and I was like, oh, I popped one. Okay, cool. And by the way, I forgot to tell you guys this. The beginning of week 2, I had purchased hydrocortisone cream, and that, like, I thought was helping, didn't. And hydrogen peroxide. So, like, that was kind of like slowing it down, right? It was like slowing the process down. So now we hit about week 3, and the one that popped is like going down, and I'm like, oh, cool, it's clearing up. Mm-hmm. But the other ones are kind of like going away too. The end of week 3, 3 or 4 new ones pop up.
Ew.
Okay? That's the end of week 3. I go, this is weird. What is this? What is this? What is happening to me? And I decided at the beginning, which was, this is week 4, my right armpit, which had nothing in it, started to form one.
Oh, no.
So it jumped
spread.
Armpits.
How does that happen?
I don't know what's going
on. Touching one, then you touch the other?
So I'm at work yesterday. Probably, yeah.
Let me just ask this. Is there a resolution to this story?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It gets intense. I have to build it up.
Oh, okay.
It's like a blockbuster.
How many parts would you say there are?
It's The Irishman. Okay. 3.5 hours.
Okay. So my joke from last week, but go on.
It's a callback, Kevin, of your joke. Anyway, I decided that last night, as I'm working here at work, my armpit started to feel like I was getting stabbed.
Ooh.
Multiple times in my armpits, like in sharp burning pains. It's like, all right, time to go. I went, checked in, got there like 6 minutes before urgent care closed. I was like the last person they checked in. They got me right in. Shout out Kaiser Permanente, Woodland Hills. They got me in. I tell him everything that happened. He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, those are boils. I go, what? Is that from like, is that from my deodorant? And he's like, yeah, it could be, because like that's when bacteria builds up in your follicles.
Ooh.
So I had a bunch of bacteria building up in my follicles, and these things were like, almost like ping pong ball sized. Like the one really big one was like a ping pong ball in my right.
Ping pong ball sized.
I was walking around work for weeks, not telling it. Nobody knew. Like I was hanging out with Cody like yesterday, and he didn't know.
How are his armpits? Is this contagious?
No, no. Do you have any on you?
I don't know.
Okay.
Show me your armpits.
I've been keeping my
distance. I
don't know.
Dr. Tara, PhD, is antibacterial skin infections, are they contagious?
It could be.
Okay.
That's nothing to do with her having a PhD.
Anyways, he looks at it. He goes, oh, yeah, I need to give you antibiotics. I go, he's like, or we could lance them. And I go,
what does lance them mean?
Takes a hot blade and drains them.
Okay, so you're on antibiotics, I take it?
I go, before I can even say, probably the antibiotics, he's like, no, we need to lance him. He answered the question.
Do they numb you?
So he comes in, sprays this, like, on the left side, he sprays this, it's like a freeze thing, it just frees, it's like a topical anesthesia, I guess. He sprays it, and then he has to take the giant syringe with the Novocaine, because he's going to cut this boil open in my armpit and he shoves the syringe in.
Oh.
And I thought that one was bad. When he got to the right side, I literally was yelling in the I was yelling bloody murder. It was so painful. Just the insertion of the Novocaine. Once that was in, Lance away, but he showed me what he pulled out of these things. Syringes about this wide around, this long, just blood and pus. So I had to psych myself up, Kevin.
You definitely seem psyched.
Yeah, and they had to give me some drugs afterwards because I'm walking around.
I'm definitely getting a drugs energy. Yeah.
I got stabbed in the armpits, like.
I hear that story and I feel worse for the guy. I'm like, can K-Rock give that guy a pair of Offspring tickets or something?
Shout out Dr. Webb, man.
I don't know if he wants to be plugged in.
Like, you should have seen me. There should have been a camera on me in this.
Do you mind if I give you my official kind of... So that's the end of the story.
That just grossed everybody out.
Yeah, this is kind of how...
This is not what I signed up for Sunday night.
To speak on behalf of Dr. Tara, myself, and everyone listening to Loveline now, and the cameramen who are helping us seemingly do this show somehow, this is on behalf of all of us.
Yeah. Be great if you could play it.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I think that just about sums it up. So your armpits are fine now?
Yeah, Kevin, have you ever had boils lanced off your armpits?
No.
Come talk to me when you do.
Not recently.
Earthcares did that.
Man.
That's pretty intense.
Four boils on the left, one on the right. Five times stabbing.
I think this may need to happen to you more often because you have more energy right now than I've ever seen out of you.
It's the cocktail of...
What is the cocktail?
Ibuprofen. I think Dr. Webb gave me a little painkiller out the door out yesterday.
Like a little painkiller, or how much?
And it's still. I don't do painkillers normally. And
okay.
So this is gonna last for a little bit.
It's gonna last.
It's gonna last.
All right. We're in the afterglow.
And the point of the story, Kevin, so you can award me one point, is be careful what deodorant you use and how, like, you know, what the consistency of it.
But is it the deodorant, or did you just put a lot on? It sounds like you may have put a lot on.
Too much on that clogged my pores.
Were you excited?
I don't know why.
You got excited?
I forgot what I was doing. I'm at eight strokes.
Right. You're like half the bar is gone. Let me ask you this. Did Sydney Sweeney make you buy this deodorant?
No.
Okay.
No. I just want to narrow it down. Is she on it? Is she like the rep?
She pushes deodorant now. That's one of the things Cindy Sweeney's doing.
I'll buy anything she sells.
Look, in all seriousness, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're still here.
Yes.
That sounds very scary.
Yes. It wasn't good. So yeah, just take care of your pits.
I just want you to know this is going to be Muggs's excuse for the next 3 months if something doesn't get done.
My armpits.
Have you ever been lanced?
Anyways, speaking of things I've never done, I've never been lanced. Neither have my armpits. Also never been to a sex party, thrown a sex party, or hosted a sex party. And this story, I think emanating out of the Midwest, St. Louis, Missouri, I thought, wow, this is so great to talk about on Loveline. It deals with sex. It deals with swinging. It deals with group sex. And to have somebody like you, Dr. Tara, who has experience with all of those things. Do you have any experience with St. Louis, Missouri?
No. Okay. That's the only thing that I don't have experience in.
3 out of 4 ain't bad. I think that's a Billy Joel song. So let's talk about this. The locals of St. Louis are growing fearful that, quote, underground sex parties are becoming mainstream in their neighborhoods. To be a true journalist, First Alert 4 reported this story. Big fan. The outlet did some investigative reporting and even stalked out some of the rumored locations in St. Louis. They noticed people arriving one by one, sometimes in pairs, as the house, not so discreetly, became a party hub with flashing lights and music. Now, before I go any further, does this sound to you like a sex party?
Yes.
Now, can I ask you a question? What is it with swingers that they need to have group sex, to have orgies? They need the environment to look like the lighting section of a party city or a guitar center for them to, like, have group sex.
Okay. Can I comment on this?
Yes.
There is a difference between sex parties and swingers parties.
Okay.
Did you know?
Well, I can assume.
Okay, what's Swingers Party?
Well, Swingers Party, I feel like there's a lot of bald guys. Maybe more bald guys.
I'm looking at me.
I'm not looking. I purposely didn't look at him to avoid that joke.
Because you said you're shaving your head tomorrow.
That's right. Tara, I told Tara I'm shaving my head tomorrow.
Are you really?
Maybe.
Okay. And you're not I'm your friend. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to be your friend.
Thank you.
Okay. You got a lot of energy right now. Okay.
You want me to?
You're still wearing the No. You're still wearing the Urgent Care wristband from last night.
Don't make any rash decisions.
Okay. And now tomorrow you're shaving your head. Okay, so are you at all curious, like concerned that you might be a little manic right now?
Is it giving Britney?
No, because I've been thinking about shaving my head for a while. Before the boils.
There was a period of time where Muggs would come into the night show that I do on K-Rock in LA, and he would come in, and I would think he would be talking to me about something productive, and he would pitch me on different ways that he was going to reveal that he shaved his head. And he'd go, "What do you think about this way?" And I go, "Man, I didn't have the heart to tell him, I don't think anyone's going to care either way. I think you should just do whatever the hell you want to do."
Well, then he can go to swingers parties.
Well, there are a lot of bald guys with beards that are swingers.
That could be a true statement.
It is.
It could be a true statement.
You don't think that, okay, have you ever looked, think back, when's the last sex party you went to?
Recently.
You don't want to say when?
Not specifically, no.
Okay, well, what happened at the, what, you can't talk about it?
Sometime in February.
All right. So sometime in February, right? You went to a sex party. Did you ever look around at that sex party?
Mm-hmm. Of course, always. Okay. I'm an observant. I love, like, watching people.
Let me guess. There were more than five bald guys in that room.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. So anyways, sometimes
okay,
stereotypes are true.
I went to the sex party, not the swingers party. So swingers party, just quickly, it's always, like, couples.
Yeah.
Going to swing with other couples.
Right.
Sex parties, it's like everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Why are bald guys always into this crap?
That is not all bald guys.
It really is.
And
it really
also
is.
I'm going to tell you the truth. Every party I've been to, there's maybe 20%. Bald guys, but
there are more than five bald guys. I can't tell you the last time I was around five bald guys.
There are
more
non-bald guys. Let me say that.
Okay, but that may have been like a lot of dudes at that thing. But
no,
I'm saying
it's always equal.
I think there might be a theory. I'm pretty sure, and Muggs doesn't have his computer, but you do have your phone if you want to look this up. I'm pretty sure that if you have higher testosterone, you go bald, right?
No,
I'm pretty sure.
No, I actually know the answer.
It's the opposite.
That.
No,
It's a hormone that men produce. I believe it's called DHT.
Okay.
And
regarding hair, mm-hmm. like you've been researching like hair loss?
Yes.
For many years. Look at her console you. Have you been researching?
Yes, I have. No, for many years. And DHT is a hormone that is produced that kills the follicles in men that have the balding gene. Such as myself.
So it's not higher testosterone that leads to it?
I mean,
not always. There's tons of men with high testosterone that have a lot of hair.
Yeah. You could be, I mean.
I'm talking overall, though. Dr. Tara does love to do this, where she's like, no, there's a guy in Missouri one time.
No, my husband has high testosterone. He has a ton of hair.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's every person, but I think it might be a leading. Anyways,
Tom Selleck. Ton of testosterone, a lot of hair.
You have no idea what his testosterone level look like.
Oh, yeah, we know.
See that mustache?
We have his report from Kaiser Permanente.
Shout out.
Dr. Webb. Make that a drop, please, in the Love Line Bald. But I'm saying maybe, do you think bald guys are hornier?
No.
I feel like a lot of bald guys want to watch other guys have sex with their wives.
That is an interesting hypothesis.
I feel like in porno it's that way. I feel like when I used to be on the apps, I'd match with a lot of like women, and then you know when like the picture's real little when you first match with them, and then you click on the profile, you're like, "This is bald guy. He's in like every picture with this lady I matched with," and then it's them as like a package deal.
But you know what I find really interesting is at sex parties, there's always performers, and performers always have hair.
It's like the hardest segue I've ever heard.
Like the
performers have hair.
Yeah, because we're talking about like people that don't have hair and people that have hair.
So what is like a female?
Johnny Sins is?
Yeah, he's bald.
He doesn't have hair.
He doesn't have hair.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of guys like that. But no, typically, like there's a guy on, should we talk about radio shows that air on other people's company? Probably not. There's a very famous morning radio show that is not here. So never listen to it. But there's a guy on that show whose wife slept with other people and he was bald too. There's something with bald guys.
Are they
by the way, shout out to all my bald guys.
Are we? If Cody's got this on me, shout out to all my bald guys. I love bald guys, but I'm just saying there's definitely some correlative research that I've done, just eyeballing it, that bald guys are more prone to want to watch their wife have sex with other men, and bald guys are also more prone to be like swingers, basically.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a credible source.
I'm just saying. I'm saying there might be something to that. And you're telling me that you see a lot of bald guys at these sex parties.
Yeah, but more guys with hair. Do we have to go back there?
Yeah, we don't have to go back there.
Anyways, what's the difference between a male performer at a party? Like, what are they doing? And then a female performer at a party, what are they doing?
Yeah,
and so... And just remember, you're on the radio.
Usually, performers are doing like erotic dances and movements. Sometimes it can involve like food or champagne or...
Food?
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
They can like smear cake on them. A man can like smear cake on his penis.
Hey, but, let me ask really you this. Expensive cake?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
That's weird.
Why are you always... You're worried about how much the cake costs?
Yeah.
let me ask you this. So like, do people... talk crap about other people at sex parties? Like, if you're like, oh my God, like, she wants so much attention. Like, look at her over there with the cake. You never commiserate with somebody and go, oh my God, like, is it kind of clicky? Like, we would be like, oh, Phil's here. You know, he's going to want to try to go down on everybody. You know what I mean?
He brought Tostitos again.
What? No.
Mugs would be the guy.
No, I would say like sex parties are where I meet the most intellectual, most interesting people.
Yeah, but what about those idiots smearing cake on themselves?
Those are performers. They were hired to be erotic and sexy.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was like a term. I thought you were talking like people are performative there.
No, performers. Like actual performers.
Oh, désolé.
Like, do they hire these performers to, like, for ambiance?
Yes.
Okay. So it's kind of like those I don't think I can say this on the radio. It's like a female cleaning product that also
Vagisil?
No. But those like kind of pretentious restaurants that'll have like a woman like doing some dance as you like order sushi. It's kind of
that. You want the vibe. Yeah. You're at a sex party. You want everyone to feel comfortable being naked. You want everyone to feel comfortable mingling.
We have like a
mingling.
Chick with cake all over, just like, smearing it all over
That's
her body.
That's one of them. There's you know many different cool? shows.
What's you know the what? Guy doing? Is he like putting cake all over his junk?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's going to get people going.
But that's just one show. There's like, I've seen like 100 shows.
It sounds like one show might be enough for me. But
seen the champagne show.
What's the champagne show?
I can't say it on live radio.
Is stuff coming out of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, can't say that on live radio. But Tara, could you take me, I know you know, to one of those parties that have sushi and the tray is a...
Yes.
Can
I ask you a question? If I buy you lunch tomorrow, will you stop talking about food on Loveline?
As long as it's sugar
second
fish,
straight week.
As long as it's sugar fish and I can eat it off.
Okay.
You.
Okay.
Oh. All right. Now, oh wow.
No,
that's interesting.
No. I just
that's
heard
an
the
interesting
last part.
Turn.
No. And that's also a weird.
You
thing
would
to
want
say.
To eat sushi off him. Really,
yeah. That's no, a weird thing to say.
He does not take shower regularly.
This guy didn't shower for 3 days. That's why it boiled. I was gonna be nice.
Two,
I didn't talk about it.
Two and it was not from not showering. It was the deodorant overusage.
A, you were late for Loveline. B, you're wearing a shirt that promotes a different radio station. C, I think you're supposed to go get Nick Hexum. He's probably in the K-Rock parking lot. It is almost 10:30 p.m. on a Sunday night. Nick Hexum is out in the K-Rock parking lot. Please grab Nick. He will join us next on Loveline.
Back to Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara. Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
You ready to get kinky? K-Rock.
We're back on Loveline. Do you want to say what you just said off air there?
I currently have bloody gauze in each armpit right now. And I told Tara, followed up with, I'm a clean individual.
I just want to bring the viewer, really if you're watching on YouTube.com/KROQ, if you're listening to the podcast or you're live with us right now on KROQ in Los Angeles on the radio, the vibe of the studio right now is like the worst date that you've ever been on. And you are just praying someone in your life calls your cell phone so you can go, oh my God, there's been an emergency.
Oh,
get
wait
me
a minute.
What's that show?
Hello? Oh, my Uber's here.
Yeah.
What's that show? Wasn't there a show on NPR? MTV like that?
I don't know. Hey, more importantly than that, hey, maybe a bit more pertinent to whatever the hell you're talking about. Where's Nick Hexum?
He's on his way. I just talked to his publicist, and I know it's late at night right now.
Yeah.
And he's on his way. He's close.
Okay, can you understand that I'm a little concerned because it's so late right now, and you're telling me that Nick Hexum's on his way?
Yeah, he should be here.
Is there traffic at this time of night?
Do you know how many times he's been on Loveline?
Yes. Well, tell us, because you're very proud of this. How many times? You looked this up this week.
It's unaccounted for. There's no actual, like, real number.
Oh, so you don't even know?
There is no official... This is official.
You're asking me if I want to know. You don't even know.
There's no real number, but guaranteed over at least...
There's a real number. Trust me, there's a real number.
Let me finish.
Okay.
There have been at least over a dozen confirmed.
Okay.
Appearances on Loveline. Many incantations.
Okay. Can you let us know when Nick Hexum's here? Because we just told everyone that Nick Hexum was going to be here.
Yeah.
Is he going to be here?
Yeah, he's going to be here. I just talked to his publicist.
Okay. We're going to get to some questions right now that were sent in by you at I Love Loveline if you want to be anonymous on the internet. A lot of people are preferring this. You know, the traditional Loveline, the original Loveline, people would call in. I think nowadays, not only do people not use the phone so much, but I was thinking about this. Like, there were no social media clips back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you called in and you were talking about, you know, bloody gauze underneath your armpits or something else embarrassing, right? That you wouldn't want to be on like a YouTube show or a podcast, you could call in and know if you heard it, you heard it. But nowadays, like if a woman calls in and says, you know, hey, my husband finishes too quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and we clip that. We put that on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be like, hey, is that Mary? That sounds like Mary. Hey, Scott, you know, your wife called in.
It's a true concern. I've had many, many students. I was like, oh my God, Dr. Tara, we're so excited. We want to call in, but we also don't want to be like known.
Yes.
And I'm like, but we won't use your name. But they're like, yeah, but then like, what if my friends recognize my voice? So
yeah,
I think calling in is sort of an old school thing.
Yeah. But by the way, if you are old school, you can still do that. 1-833-LOVE-191. You can call that number, text that number, or leave a voicemail at that number. And Muggs is supposed to be checking that voicemail, so hopefully you can get on the show that way.
We have a voicemail?
So this first question comes from Instagram, and it says, okay, thoughts on... Let's just skip that one. Because some of these are just so perverted. Like somebody just sent in, hey, Dr. Tara, can I watch? I mean, you must get a
watch
lot of
what?
That. Well, you know, what? Watch what?
Be more specific.
Yeah. What you put deodorant on.
Yeah, exactly.
20 times too many.
Okay. This person wants to know, Dr. Tara, have you ever had a threesome before?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to talk anything about that experience?
I've had a few.
Okay.
So maybe I talk about my first time.
Yeah.
The first time I had a threesome, it was sort of unplanned. Not the sort of threesome that I would recommend nowadays, knowing better and being a sexologist, that I would recommend people do. It was with my boyfriend at the time, and we were intoxicated, and I was kind of feeling frisky, and... You know, I've always been bisexual. So we were out and I just thought, like, that girl's really pretty. She kept looking at me and she wanted to play. And so we ended up all together.
Sorry.
I couldn't go into any details because of a radio show.
No, but I cannot. I wasn't laughing at you. I want you to know that.
Okay.
That, I appreciate you sharing that information. Just, I cannot look at Beer Mug when you're talking about sexually explicit things because just the intensity.
I want you to look at me.
The intensity.
I want you to.
You've already asked to eat something off me on this show. And you've already alleged that you're not high.
I'm going
to
call HR. Like, one more strike.
I know, it's good. Well, by the way, Nick is here. I'm going to go get him.
Okay, that's great. Right. Oh, man. It's an emotional roller coaster knowing that Nick Hexum's first impression of this new love line is going to be that.
It's going to be
that manic man coming at him. Yeah, he already knows you. He's also going to... How much you want to bet? I will make you a bet right now.
Okay.
I'll bet you $20 right now that Nick Hexum is going to know about the bloody gauze underneath the armpits before he walks in here.
No.
I'm going to make you a bet right now. Yeah, it's terrible. So in terms of you said in there, I'm just curious, so that you always were bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that probably a lot of Loveline listeners or viewers, followers, might be navigating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
By curiosity versus, you know, straight up bisexuality. What was your journey like?
Well, I went to an all girls Catholic school, like throughout the early grades until I finished middle school in the all girls Catholic school. So my first love interest and sexual experience was with a girl. So back then, I thought I was a lesbian, right? Because I had a love interest and, you know, thought I was a lesbian. But then went
to... It was like, what do you mean love interest? Because I think even like if a younger
romantic relationship, like a dating thing, you know, like in middle school, like I call it a love interest because... Like when you're in middle school, it's not a real relationship.
But like, I'm curious though to hone in on like a young person who maybe they love a same sex friend of theirs.
Yeah.
And maybe they're in a conservative household, and they're like, well, no, I love him like a friend.
Yeah.
But maybe there isn't a love like a friend. So what? Like, how did you know?
Yeah.
That you loved this woman.
Yeah.
Like in a romantic way, and not just like a she's so great, I love hanging out with her.
Because I wanted to kiss her when I see her, and I wanted to go down on her.
Okay. It sounds a little bit like Mugs towards me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm learning.
I have to call HR.
Wow, okay.
But yeah, so that's how I learned. And when I went to high school, I had experiences with men. Then I was like, oh, wow, I like men now. So I thought I was heterosexual. But then later on in life, when I moved here, and LA is so like sexually liberated.
Right.
And I had many like lesbian friends. I realized like, oh, I think I'm bisexual because I was very interested in these like other women when I would go out to like a lesbian bar with my friends. So I came to terms that I am bisexual. I date, and of course I married a man. So people tend to think like, oh no, she was just like bi curious. She was just experimenting. But I'm, no. I know my sexuality. You don't have to tell me. Right. I'm bisexual. And there are many people that are my friends that have tried to have sex with women and realize that they're not bisexual. However, they call themselves heteroflexible. Have you heard of heteroflexibility?
I just did just now.
Okay, so a heteroflexible person is a heterosexual person.
Right.
Who can from time to time dabble like in and out with having sex with people that are same sex as them.
Right.
So, you know, a guy who have sex with a man in a threesome with his girlfriend might say he's heteroflexible.
Right.
Yeah.
I always like, I'm fascinated by that, like that journey in terms of sexual sort of orientation and identification. Mm-hmm. And, but it really is, it sounds like whenever I talk to somebody that knows about it, like you or, you know, somebody who is fluid or mm-hmm. bisexual or what have you, you really, if you know, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like I never was like playing Madden with a buddy of mine and been like, man, you know what would be so cool is if
going
I just,
down on you.
If I went down on this guy right now, you know.
Mux might have those feelings.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean,
towards
let's not,
you.
Yeah, let's not speak for Mugs. I still got to process that guy wants to eat off of me.
Sushi, not any food, not pizza.
Yeah, well,
okay, not be sushi. Very sensual.
And it's troublesome for me because I've bought him sushi before, and I thought that was a platonic like buddy hang, and
he might be like imagining.
Yeah,
like,
they
you,
might be a little
like,
bit,
you know, while he puts sushi in his mouth.
Yeah, let's not dwell on it too much. But I appreciate you talking about that journey. And then, So the first threesome was intoxicated. How did it go?
Terribly.
Oh, really? Why did it go terribly?
Because we were all like too drunk, and we were kind of just like stumble all over. I shouldn't say it was terrible. It was fun, but nobody orgasmed.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a successful sexual experience, but it was a fun like interaction.
So I always find that that's a tricky sort of predicament to be in intimately, whether you're with one, two, three or more partners.
Yeah.
Is, you know, there's a, you know, typically like to use a sports analogy, when somebody finishes, you know, it's like the final buzzer. It gives you an out, right? Like I was sort of looking when Muggs was in the room. But if nobody finishes in a threesome, how do you politely and respectfully wrap up that threesome?
Oh, I think we just all got really tired and sweaty, and we just kind of like all lay down and fell asleep.
But who says it first? Because somebody's got to go. Who's going to be the first person? It's like if you're all at a movie that stinks.
Yeah.
There's got to be a friend to go like, hey, should we get out of here?
I think it was our unicorn. I think she was like, I'm tired, guys. And I'm like, that's okay. Me too. Let's go to bed.
Oh, she said I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think this is the
stuff. It was really late.
That I think is actually really valuable.
Yeah.
I was listening to Loveline because there are so many awkward situations you can find yourself in.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking last episode about if you're receiving oral and it's just you're like, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Or mugs like oral and flatulence.
Yeah.
Awkward and awkward things happen all the time.
Why I keep laughing is you can look, if you're listening to Loveline, it probably sounds exactly like it always does on the podcast or the radio show, but you are in a very, very nice studio because we're going to be
allegedly eventually joined by Nick Hexum, which Beer Mug is out grabbing right now. But there are new people in the room. We have cameramen in the room. And so these people know Mugs.
Yeah.
And you're just sort of outing all these personal stories.
We talked about this on live radio.
I know. I think I'm protective over Mugs at times because I think for a guy that's worked at KROQ for 20 years, I think he still forgets that it's on the radio. And I think that sometimes he tells stories I don't know if it occurs to him. But yes, that is true. He was receiving oral one time and had flatulence. And the punchline of that story, if you didn't hear last episode, was the reason he had flatulence was he had just completed the Hot Ones Challenge. So this man ate eight different...
on his own.
Yeah, and then...
Not on the show.
I mean, this is like... There's a zillion reasons why I empathize with women dating and single women and the things they have to put up with heterosexual men. And one of those things you got to put up with as a woman that we would never have to as guys that date women is that if a guy hits you up to hang out or, you know, hits you up for a hookup, you don't know with 100% certainty if he has just done the Hot Ones Challenge. I know that. When I text a girl, I know she has not just done the Hot Ones Challenge and that's not going to be an issue. You don't know that.
Because women are considerate.
Yes.
We know if there's like a potential hookup tonight, we make sure we clean up, we shave, you know, do all the things. We don't like eat hot wings or beans before we go on a date. No. But yeah,
and for the record, most men don't
sometimes.
Either.
Mugs.
Our producer
men
does.
Men like mugs do.
Men like mugs. How was your second threesome?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And why was that
better? Because it was way, way, way later. And this was a conscious one. We were abroad. We were in Greece, actually. We were partying at this club. And I've always, you know, known that European women are a lot more flexible and like kind of sensually free. So we were at this club and we were hanging out. And this girl who's also like the server that night.
Like a club or like a sex club?
No, just a regular club.
Okay.
Nightclub.
Okay.
But then towards the end of the night, I was asking, so she would come by like to talk to us so many times. And we were like with two other couples, so we were like a group of friends. But she would come by and talk to us so many times that night that towards the end of the night, I was like, when are you off? Want to get food? Code for want to have sex.
Right. Well, that's not really code for want to have sex.
I think she can tell.
Oh, okay.
It's like, want to get like food and hang out? And I think she can kind of tell.
No, how would you navigate that, though? Or how would you recommend somebody navigate that? Because a lot of times they're just trying to get a tip and they're just trying to be nice and they're sort of like a hired
You're
gun.
You're right. Then they would just say no.
I think the woman should probably lead. If you're going to try to have a threesome with the waitress, I think the woman should probably...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's, you know, interestingly, when you're at a sex party and there are couples, it's usually the woman that approaches the other woman and asking if you would be interested to play together.
Right. It's like a swap meet.
I've never been to one.
It's like in Los Angeles, we have flea markets.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, you know? It's like
that's
someone
not very
will go,
glamorous.
I have like a, you know, a LeBron James rookie card, and I'll trade you for your Homer Simpson action figure. And this is a little different of like, you know, I'll trade you Darlene for Samantha. What do you say, Rick?
Or the men. The women trade the men.
Oh, the women trade the men.
Yeah.
Wow. So let me ask you this.
All the women just play with each other and leave the men.
Are there a lot of dudes on the sidelines at these sex parties?
Yeah.
There are.
Yeah, and they're watching.
And are the bald guys there? Or are they,
yes.
The bald guys are on the side? Are they really?
They're watching.
Oh, man, the poor bald guys. when you're at those sex parties, do you ever try to make a trade and then they say no? Because like the Lakers, you ever follow basketball?
Yes.
Okay, so they just recently traded for this center from the Charlotte Hornets.
Mm.
And he failed his physical.
Oh, no.
And so they had to send him back to the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh.
Which, to me, is like the most hilarious NBA story of all time. Not enough people are talking about it, even here in Los Angeles.
What is it called? Lemon Law?
Lemon Law?
Yeah.
What is that?
Isn't it Lemon Law?
Can sounds like an advertiser on K-Rock.
No, it's like where you're like, you buy something and you return it immediately.
Have you ever ran into a lemon tree? Call Lemon Law Brothers. Has a lemon tree ever fell on your house?
It has, actually.
It's like every commercial on K-Rock. Lemon Law, what is that? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Okay. Let's move on.
All right. I think you got a contact high from our manic friend over here, who again... If you're just joining the radio show... we're waiting on the arrival of Nick Hexum, who's our big guest today. We're very excited to have him. Beer Mug went out to the K-Rock parking lot to get Nick Hexum 15 minutes ago. The K-Rock parking lot is a 2-minute walk. What is happening out there?
He's in the bathroom looking at his armpit. It's just
and then we're going to wonder why they don't do our big Christmas show this year. You know what I mean? Nick's gonna leave here and go, yeah, I don't know if I have to go back to K-Rock for a little while. I think I've done enough K-Rock. Now, do you ever get turned down in your trades? That's the analogy. Sorry, so I told the Lakers story because I just think it's so awkward and it's so hilarious that this poor guy was like traded and now has to go back to the team that traded him because he failed his physical. And there might even be a lawsuit about this actually right now. Anyways, have you ever, or has somebody approached you and been like, hey, I'll give you Derek for yours, you know, your husband. And you're like, you know, can you give me a first round pick? And they're like, no. And then you're just like, I don't want Derek. It's not going to work out. How does that happen?
I have turned down many people, yes.
Really?
Yeah,
Why?
Many people.
Now, is that like mama bear kicks in, a little jealousy kicks in? You're like, no, you might be like a little too hot. I don't want you around my husband.
It's usually because Brenton doesn't want to do it.
So they'll come to you. You're the GM of the husband.
Then you go to the husband. Yes.
And you'll go, hey, they're offering.
How do you feel?
You know, like one orgasm for 20 minutes with an option for a second, you know, if you, you know.
Is this basketball terms?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Then I check and I'm like, no, I'm not feeling it. Then I go like, no, sorry, but you're so lovely. Have a good night. It's very common. It's actually like very, very normal in that context. Yeah. It's not embarrassing.
This is also kind of like when the pound makes you do a chemistry test with the dog before you adopt it, you know? So wait, what's happening? So just paint me this picture. And I'm so sorry. We will get to, hopefully, another question. But this is so fascinating to me. And I think if you've never been to a sex party, you might be interested in this too. So woman A goes up to woman B, okay? Now, is she with her husband typically?
Usually, yeah.
Okay, so like these two people come over, right? And then
no, usually the woman comes.
Well, then you just told me that the other person was there. Are they there?
Yeah, but only the woman approaches.
I'm going to have to visualize this later when you know, I enjoy myself. So please be descriptive. No. So the woman comes over.
Yeah.
And then she approaches you. Where's your husband when she approaches you?
Usually, like, we would just be either, like, playing, making out, or standing around watching people have sex.
Is it bad if they interrupt? Like, if you guys are making out and they're like, oh, excuse me, like, could I do that with him?
No, sometimes they do.
Oh, God, he's back. Get in here. Yeah, we're live on the radio. Okay. I wish, can we in post get like a manic meter on the bottom, like a little Chiron? And it's just like, 5 points. Wanted to jump over the couch. 10 points.
We should. Good news. Nick is here. He's drinking a Sprite and he's enjoying himself in the green room. So.
All right. Really? He's not drinking a Sprite.
I promise.
I don't think that guy is at a carb since the first album came out.
Is he enjoying himself?
Oh, he's enjoying the ambiance.
Not in the way that he's
dirty,
going to.
Dirty, sick person, Tara. Yeah. No, I was surprised by the Sprite grab as well.
Really? And it was a full-on Sprite? Not a diet Sprite?
The green, real Sprite with real sugar.
I don't get this joke.
No, he's in tremendous shape.
He's in amazing
shape.
Oh, you think you like it's someone who doesn't drink soda.
You were talking like the whole time. Doors are just closing.
I know his apps. Like, I know the apps.
He has 0% body fat.
I know the apps.
When we finally welcome him after this commercial break that's coming up, and Muggs, it would be great if we know when we have to take that commercial break if you want to talk to some of our friends.
Yeah.
But when we come back, you should greet him that way.
You should say, hey. I know your apps.
Yeah, I know your apps. I can say, hey, I love your music, and then you can say, hey, I know your apps.
Yep. Yeah,
he's gonna love
it. I have no shame.
Yeah, I'm so interested in that Sprite. I won't take 5 minutes
please
talking about it.
Don't make it my armpit boil story, please.
No,
nope.
No. And we made a bet when you were in the room.
Yeah.
Does he know about your armpits?
No, I'm not gonna tell. I actually took my bracelet off.
Oh my god, you did.
I did.
Oh,
isn't that funny? Let's not.
He's
don't
being
talk about it. You don't want to talk about it.
No.
Is this not the most him thing of all time?
We have to respect his boundaries.
You do this too, by the way, just to call you out. We were talking about something last. Oh, you talk. Can I bring this up? Because you brought it up. I'm going to bring something up right now, but you brought this up.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to say just like you said it.
Okay.
So I'm not saying anything you didn't say.
Okay.
Okay. But you do the same thing he does on the show where you bring stuff up and then you tell me not to talk about it. And I go, well, then why did you bring it up? You said last night, you stop looking at me like that, dude. He's got crazy eyes.
He does.
You said last week on the show that your grandfather died having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I said, wow, what happened there? And you're like, don't ask me about that. And I'm like, what the hell? I wasn't going to. You just brought that up.
Yeah. Don't ask me about it.
By the way, K-Rock's never going to let you bring anybody to the green room ever again. Because if word gets out that you're like talking about what they're doing back there. They're gonna get so mad at you.
Well, who's gonna get mad? Whatever.
People are gonna get mad at you.
I feel
it's
no
love
pain
line
right now.
Because you're on drugs.
No, I'm not.
Prescription.
Yes, thank you.
All right, let's get another question in here until we have
no,
to
no, we should probably it wrap it up now.
You think we should wrap it up? So let's get to another question, seeing as this is Loveline Mugs. Okay. This person wants guidance on an arranged marriage sex or sex within an arranged marriage. That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah. Arranged marriage is very common in South Asia and in certain part of other parts of Asia. So I've kind of looked into it a little bit to understand the dynamics. And what I've seen is it's either an arranged marriage where there is like no love interest, but then there's also like a love arranged marriage where like the two people actually like fell in love. So I kind of need to know, like, are you in love or are you not in love, and just try to mechanically have sex in order to have children? Because like sex, recreational and relational sex or procreational sex to me is so different. Like procreational sex is just like bam bam baby, right? Recreational sex or relational sex is like there for, you know, the connection purpose,
right?
So is this person, you know, I don't know, I can't really answer it in the most scientific sense without knowing the situation.
Isn't it funny, like all these Americans who, like, you know, pig out on whatever they pig out on the weekends and watch like shows like Love is Blind and they think that's awesome, will like poo-poo arranged marriages, even though,
right,
like, isn't that show basically arranged marriages?
Kind of,
right?
Yeah, kind of. And I mean, actually statistically, like, it has worked really well for people in those cultures,
arranged marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you think there's a little bit of a truth of, I mean, it's going to take a lot of work no matter who you marry.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
always. Yeah.
I'm not saying I would ever want to be in an arranged marriage necessarily, but...
Well, you didn't even want to get married. We talked about this. You're like, you don't believe in marriage.
Yeah, I just need to enter it with like no way of losing money. If I can figure out a way where I'm not going to lose money, the Lemon Law Brothers aren't going to come after me. You
know? I don't think we know what that means. We probably should not use it.
What does that mean?
You missed the Lemon Law Brothers.
Can you Google it?
Sponsor.
Search it right now. Well, Lemon Law.
Oh, I know about the Lemon Law.
Oh, what is it?
So if you have to take your vehicle in California to the mechanic or the dealership, wherever you purchased it, more than three times for the same problem, it's a lemon. Boom. That you get totally refunded by the manufacturer.
I love that, like, if we're like, hey, can you print this out? He's like, what? And then, but he knows about this.
Lemon Law.
Right? Lemon Law. Lemon Law Larry.
All right, this next question, just thoughts on this, Dr. Tara. This person writes in and says, I want to have sex with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Many people do. Get in line.
Okay, and then before we go to break, I don't mean to laugh. I won't laugh. This person wants to know, how do I know if I'm actually in a relationship with the woman I'm speaking with?
Ask her.
I mean, is this a problem that people are facing nowadays?
Yeah, especially young people. You're probably like talking and you feel like you're talking as in like you're in love and you're talking in a romantic sense, but there hasn't been a conversation. So a lot of young people are kind of left confused, and that's why a lot of them end up just being in situationships because they don't actually talk about it directly.
Can I recommend something? I'm not a doctor.
Sure.
I would recommend the hooker method.
I don't know if you can say that.
Why not?
The hooker?
Is hooker...
You mean the prostitution
like
method?
Virginity? You can't say that anymore. That's offensive, right?
Prostitution.
Is hooker bad?
We just don't say it.
Well, okay. Sorry. Sorry to all my hookers. Shout out to all my hookers and my bald
guys. Stop saying it.
I think some of them probably call themselves hookers. Anyways, how about this? The method formerly known as the hooker method.
Okay.
I hope we had a one-shot on me for that. I had a buddy one time who called a hooker in my presence. And it was the only time in my life I've ever seen somebody call a hooker. Oh, sorry. You want me to say hooker, right? What do I say?
Sex worker.
All right. I think hooker's cool. But anyways, I'm not saying it in a mean way. All right. So the only time I've ever seen somebody call a sex worker they ordered a sex worker.
Sure, sure.
So they ordered a sex worker, and the sex worker made him do the Dr. Evil. they were like, how do I know you're not a cop or something? Uh-huh. And then they were like, do the Dr. Evil thing. And
what?
Then I walked in. The way I found out my friend was ordering a sex worker was I go, what are you doing there, dude? Like, you taking like some like Austin Powers selfies? And he said, no, get the F out of my room, dude. And then I was like, okay. And then I left, and then there was a knock at the door like 30 minutes later, and there was a sex worker at the door.
Oh.
And so then afterwards, he told me that, well, yeah, like to verify your identity, they make you do stuff, like specific stuff.
Yes, yes.
So that particular sex worker wanted him to do the Dr. Evil thing. So he did that.
That's
so that's
cute.
How they knew he wasn't a cop.
Yeah, yeah,
cops
they
aren't
do
allowed
that.
To do that. I don't know. Anyways, apologies to any hookers.
Stop saying it.
No, but I think that's... What if if there's some bad origin, let me know. I'm always looking to learn more. Shout out to all my sex workers. Shout out to all my bald guys. And shout out to everybody who loves themselves. Some Nick Hexum and 311. He will join us next, we promise, on Loveline.
More Loveline still to come.
Loveline.
With Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Loveline on K-Rock.
All right, it has finally happened. We are back on Loveline, and Muggs has delivered the goods.
Woo!
Dr. Taurus here, as is our special guest, Nick Hexum. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I was joking at the top of Loveline tonight that when we heard you were coming on, I was like, what a get.
Yeah.
You know, what a scoop. Nick Hexum, one of the biggest K-Rock artists of all time on Loveline. I'm like, I wonder if he's ever done Loveline.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, we give Muggs here, who was the kind gentleman who let you in, we give him very minimal tasks. And I don't know if you have anyone in the 311 camp like that, but we love him, but you know, we know his ceiling. And so I said, hey man, could you do some research and see if Nick Hexum was ever on Loveline? And so Muggs found out, not very much, but I think he found out something he wanted to share.
That according to the AI Google search, 311 in a form of the band, Nick Hexum yourself, or Nick Hexum and Peanut, have been on Loveline, not confirmed, but at least over a dozen times.
Wow.
I'm saying it's pushing 20.
Wow.
I was the guy that they would call me when somebody canceled, and I just lived in Laurel Canyon, so I'd be like, I'll be there. But one night, I got a little too tipsy. I was like out at dinner, and I came in and was like a little like not ready for to being on the air. So I had to call Dr. Drew and make some amends for my bad behavior on the air.
Ooh.
Because you can't say bad words.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's still the rule, Nick. We'll have you know.
Okay, good.
As you know.
Same rule.
Okay, good.
But it's, you know, it's funny. It's kind of a, of course, you have a long history with the sort of flagship station here of Loveline and K-Rock as an artist. But I thought that this was such a perfect time to talk to you because of this new EP you put out, solo EP, Waxing Nostalgic. And at the root of it, at the center of it, from what I've heard you talk about, is vulnerability and this desire that you wanted to be more vulnerable and let your guard down. And that's something we talk about, Dr. Tara, a lot on Loveline,
mm-hmm.
in terms of just the importance of it from a relational standpoint,
mm-hmm.
From a personal development standpoint. But it did strike me, as a guy who's been making music now for over 30 years, that you still felt there were frontiers to sort of pursue as Nick Hexum and as a songwriter.
I do. I mean, I think there's always natural fronts that people need to keep trying to take down, whether it's in your art or in your personal relationship. And also just reading some interesting books about how the best art comes from just like really going into difficult places where people really relate.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a song on my EP called Lonely Existence that's like about what it's like to be stuck in an addiction, and like how, when you're stuck in your secrets. And so I was like, I'm going to go somewhere I haven't gone before, you know, like a firsthand account of what that was like. So, yeah, it's just important to share and be vulnerable.
Do you think,
are you vulnerable in your romantic relationship?
I think so. I have a very good marriage of 17 years, and but I think that it's very important for me to always be working on my part to, you know, if maybe me and my wife are getting into like some control issue where I'm like, wait, this is me being the controlling person here, of like, and owning up to that is super important.
Yeah, that takes a lot of self-awareness.
Yep. And I need people to bounce it off of to help me see that. And, you know, there's, you got to stay connected with people and have like trusted advisors that are, whether it's professional or friends or whatever.
Getting back to the project real quick for, you know, the 311 fans listening and the Nick Hexum fans listening, did you feel there were topics that were easier to write about as Nick Hexum than, say, to pour through the filter of the 311 universe?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, I wrote a song with my sister about what life was like in 1978, and it was just so personal, of like going through what life was when I was 8 years old and growing up in Omaha, and when the latest technology was like a Slinky or a Magic 8-Ball, you know, and how different that is. But and then we cut together a music video from our Super 8 home movies, and I cannot watch that without getting misty, because it's just like the most nostalgic thing ever. So that was something that felt right for like a solo album. But I also think that you can still be very revelatory and self-exposing in a band situation too. So I think I'm kicking open this higher level of honesty, and hopefully in everything I do. And, you know, Rick Rubin's book, The Creative Act, was very, very helpful to me. And there's another book called Saved by a Song, which is by Mary Gaucher, which is about how great art comes from going into difficult times and just being super revealing, and how people really feel that honesty when you go into trauma or anything that like that, and there's a healing to that when you share that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's, when you talked about honesty, I think there's a lot of honesty in good sex.
Okay.
And there's a lot of honesty in good
sex. That was going to be my next question.
Like, are there honesty in good sex? Was that your question?
I think, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know what's interesting about that is I think there needs to be sort of, you think honesty or empathy?
Honesty. Like, sex is the most vulnerable form of being a human.
But you can have great sex with somebody you don't even know. You know what I mean? No?
As good as someone you know.
Oh, maybe not. Mm. If we're talking, you know, greatest of all time, no.
We're talking about, like, the best sex life ever. I think there it takes a lot of honesty. There's a lot of people that are faking it or performing it or, you know, they're not truly enjoying the sexual experience. So I was wondering.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
What is the role of vulnerability in your sex life?
I mean, honestly, I think a lot of that is natural chemistry. There's a lot of things that can really be worked on in a relationship, but natural chemistry. I'm thinking of, either Mad Men or the Masters of Sex, that Showtime show where they talked about how, like, people kiss because they want to smell. Like, that's mm-hmm. the real thing behind it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, dogs smell each other's butts, but humans kiss because they want. And, like, that's like such an important thing that you kind of either have or you don't, mm-hmm. but there are many things that you can work on. But honestly, like that is something that you kind of can't fake. Mm-hmm. And so fortunately I click well with my wife.
Yeah. Love that. Well, I mean, scientifically, scent is the most accurate form of attraction.
Yeah.
Because there are so many other things, right? Like what clothes you're wearing, your hair, your job, how much money one makes. But the scent really doesn't lie. So it is the most accurate predictor of true attraction.
Yeah. You think that's why Muggs didn't get a call back from the flatulence oral woman?
Why?
This was a story from last week, Nick, where our producer Muggs did the Hot Ones Challenge, which is, I guess, Muggs taught us this, but it's
eating chicken wings.
You have to eat 8 different chicken wings, and then he thought a good idea was to call up a girl after that, and she didn't call you back, did she?
No, she called me back.
She called you back. Wow. All right. After then maybe it was about the smell.
During oral sex, yeah.
Even despite the flatulence. Okay.
The name of my band, Despite the Flatulence.
There you go.
I listened to that.
It's going places.
Spotify it.
You guys are going to play The Terrace this year at Acoustic Christmas, yes. I heard. I wanted to, I hate to keep going back to music stuff, but while having you here, you mentioned Rick Rubin's book.
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys ever, as a band, work with Rick?
Not as a band. My musical childhood dreams came true when I was asked to be part of the South Park soundtrack with Joe Strummer from The Clash. And so he put together this super group that he invited people, and he asked me to play guitar. Flea on bass, Tom Morello also on guitar, Rick Rubin producing, DJ Bonebreak from the band X on drums, Ben Montench from, I'm doing a lot of name dropping because it was like, I could not believe that I was in the studio with these people, and Rick Rubin produced, so I have done one song with him, and it was really, like, we had a lot of deep talks, and, you know, I could see that he was already, this was in like 97, 98, and he was already very much into the meditation, you know, giving thanks before the meal, and like this really long Indian food meal before we even recorded. So it was pretty cool.
So why do you think that Rick works so amazing with certain artists, but then other artists will say, you know, it just didn't work for them with Rick? It seems like polarizing isn't the term, but his approach just doesn't work with certain artists. But you, having worked with him, why do you think that is?
There was a little bit of talk at one point that we could possibly work with him, but I don't know. He's kind of the hottest ticket in town, and now he's got that place, Shangri-La, out in Malibu. So call me, Rick.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned meditation. Do you meditate regularly?
I go through phases. I haven't done it lately, but I would say the most intense meditation time that I had was right before I started having kids, and I was like really like looking for like, what am I doing here? And and I had a lot of free time before kids, of course. And I was going to these like Buddhist meetings, and I remember I was reading The Power of Now when it first came out, and also Eckhart's second book, A New Earth, was just wonderful. And I was doing a lot of meditating, and I kind of got to this place where like, oh my God, my brain has been lying to me. All these, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if, is just BS. It's not real. And, you know, the illusion of consumerism, of like, if you have more stuff, you'll be happier. If you have more stuff than the next, in all that stuff. And I was like, I almost like had this, like, I felt like I had the flu or something after like all my thoughts were a lie. And so I had to pick up the pieces. And what I was left with was to savor and serve, like to savor the moments, use my senses to get into the present moment, to look around like, wow, I'm on this show right now, and just like be here now, and then be of service. You know, you can only really feel good about yourself if you're living in somewhat of an unselfish way. So that's my meditation story.
I love that. Well, as a Buddhist, because I grew up a Buddhist, and my parents would send me to meditation camps when I was younger. So like junior meditation camps where it's like 3 days or 5 days, and it's silent meditation. So almost all day you're being silent.
It's tough.
And you have to chew 30 times before you swallow. So it's a very intense like meditation / like Buddhist camps. But I have a huge appreciation because now as an adult, I have learned so many of these principles since I was very young, so it's kind of ingrained in me. I make sure I stop and literally smell the flower if there's like, you know, flowers around me, or like being present, like you said, it is like the key to my livelihood.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome that you were introduced to those tools.
I was forced, but okay. I loved it. I loved it later. It. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, people always say, "Oh, I think too much," or "I'm in the future, tripping," or, but how do I stop? Use your senses. Get into the moment. Look, smell, hear. You know, like that will get you into the. It's like a portal to the present moment.
Have you ever tried sexual meditation?
A little, you know, I'm kind of familiar with like tantric, like getting into like a zone of syncing up your breathing and so forth. I'm somewhat familiar with it. Not like Sting. Everybody knows Sting is like this.
I know. There was that one article. Do you remember that article that came out? What was it on Rolling Stone where he was like, we have sex for 7 hours?
Yeah. Sting has sex for 7 hours?
Yeah.
currently?
We got to review this article next time, next week.
Must was like a 20 years ago article. Kind of thing.
Yeah, long time ago. But
he might still be doing it. He looks pretty good.
He was kind of like the trailblazer of like tantric sex in the West.
Yeah.
Well, explain that. How do I have sex for 7 hours if I want to do that?
Well, like energetic sex. Like being sensual and connected, not like penetration.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any downside to having sex for too long?
No.
No?
Like, I mean, what are you talking about?
Don't get anything done.
Yeah.
But priorities.
Yeah. But there's no health risks at all of like having sex for 2-3 hours.
Do you mean penetration?
No.
Okay. If just sex, no, yeah. No.
But penetration, should you cap it at a certain amount of time?
Yes.
Really? Like when? Yeah.
Well, when the woman is uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the third in your threesome story.
Yes.
Once they tap out.
Yes.
Nick, I wanted to ask you, in 1978, the song on the new project, the new EP, you sort of list off these formative experiences, and we talk a lot on Loveline about how, you know, hindsight always being 2020, there are these moments in our childhood and our adolescence that sort of define us and make us who we are, for better and for worse, and just with the spirit of this project being this sort of look back for you. Anything come to mind growing up in Nebraska or things that you...
Yeah, I guess one of the reasons the video that we cut together makes me so emotional is because, like, after that, in 1979, my dad went on a sabbatical, and we all went to live outside Washington, D.C., which was such a culture shock from Omaha, total white bread existence, to Washington, D.C., which is so multicultural, and I heard rap music for the first time and everything, and then my folks split up after that, so that time that I'm commemorating in 1978 was like the end of a very, very special era when everything was so safe, you know what I mean? So that's why it really touches a nerve.
Yeah. Dr. Tara, would you say that that's universal? Because I relate to that in so many ways, where my grandmother passed away when I was 14 or 15 years old. And that is such a clear marker for me. I don't know if you feel like this about the, you know, early to late 1970s, of just the world just seems so different to me before that moment and after that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I don't want to say better or worse, but it's such a defining before and after line in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nick sharing that story. Do you find that that's common with most people? There is that
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Like the theory of catastrophe. Mm. Like when there is a huge thing that happens in your life, there is almost like a life pre and post that event.
Right.
Yeah. And divorce is usually a huge thing for children.
And is there anything that people should look out for in terms of like what can be born out of that? You know,
what
for better.
Mean?
Well, I don't know, just bad habits maybe, or just
oh, for sure.
What that
yeah.
can lead to, both for better and for worse.
I would say if you ever feel like there are a lot of like built up emotions within you, like seek out a professional is best. And nowadays, I mean, lots of services for therapy, lots of insurance like covers therapy. I think talking to someone is a huge help. And you know, when Freud kind of came out and talked about psychotherapy, he was laughed at, right? Because at that time, men of natural science were like, this is bullshit. Can't say that. This
is a good catch. She's learning.
Yes. This is BS. Like, you know, this is not real science, right? But then here we are, like therapy being one of the most common modalities of healing
right.
in 2025. So I think we humans need to utilize that more.
Right on.
Yeah.
Speaking of formative experiences, Nick, I want to thank you and your band for making that song Love Song, or covering that song Love Song, I should say. Is Robert Smith's watching Love
yes,
Line this week?
The Cure.
Because we all probably remember this, your first makeout ever. And so I was a very nervous young lad. And so I needed everything to be perfect. You know, you sort of do think of it as like a somewhat of like a space shuttle launch. The
yeah.
first time you're going to go in for that makeout, right? And so I chose 51st Dates in seventh grade. And I was so nervous that I didn't have the guts to do it the whole movie. And then so the credits started and I was like, dude, I got it. Like, because all my friends, you know that, like as a guy, you tell everybody. It's like the Super Bowl pregame show, you know, like the 5-hour Super Bowl pregame show. Recess, the lunch table every day leading up to that weekend,
you're like previewing this big thing you're going to do. And so the whole entire movie went by and I was such a coward and I didn't make out with this girl. And I thought, dude, I got to go in now. And so the credits started. And so my first ever make out, as I don't know if you remember, but your song soundtracks those credits. And so we play it on K-Rock. Like every night we play this song, yes. Love Song. And I always just get taken back to there. But aww. It is funny, like the role, you know, it's funny because you're here and that's your band's song. But I'm sure you even remember your first make out.
I can't remember what song was playing, but yeah, I remember just how awkward it was that, like, it, you know, you don't really have the smoothness to be just like, you know, take her face in your hand. I mean, like, it's just like, all right, I'm going for it. And just like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she's ready. Like, there's nothing to do but just get it over with. But yeah, and what was cool about the 51st Date soundtrack, it was those romantic songs from the 80s redone in like a kind of island style. So, you know, Stop the World and Melt With You was one of the songs that I produced with Jason Mraz singing for that soundtrack, and Lips Like Sugar, the Echo and the Bunnymen song. So it was all Adam Sandler. Honestly, it was his idea for us to cover Love Song. So a big thank you to him for putting it all together.
He also did some really cool stuff for the Little Nicky soundtrack back in the day. There's actually an amazing version of Change by Deftones, and it's quite literally Chino, Adam, and then the Incubus guys are involved. And it's really cool. It's acoustic. But he's obviously, you know, very talented musician in his own right, obviously on the comedy end. But how did that come about? Like, when you say he asked you to do that, what was that story?
Well, he just loved our song Amber so much. He was like, that's the sound I want for 51st Dates. But I want 80s songs redone in that island style. I was like, well, I got lots of ideas. So I started just throwing out romantic songs that I could redo. So I produced 5 songs on that soundtrack, and you know, No Doubt was on it, and Sugar Ray was on it, and but it was because he wanted covers done in our style of Amber that led to that.
That's awesome.
And it was really cool. I that was the only time I've really been heavily involved in like a major movie. So like the level of press and promotion and constantly on TV. I was like, that was a moment in my career. Yeah.
On the topic of a song like Amber, right? When you write, whether it's that song Amber or any big song you've written that may be inspired by a person, when you perform it a zillion times and you perform it to this day, do you still get taken back to the sort of source material, the inspiration, the person behind the lyrics that you're thinking of? Or has so much happened with that song that it's almost like built upon? You don't necessarily go back there.
No, I think when I'm doing a show, I'm there to be of service to the audience, and knowing how much that those songs have become part of people's lives. So it really doesn't go back to that first inspiration as much as just, you know, knowing that I'm being of service to the audience. And you know, I loved You're Still the One by what was that, the country singer Shania Twain. Like, she does this whole Song Exploder podcast about it, and she was like, I don't like that person I wrote that song about, but I know how much this is part of people's lives, and so when I'm singing it, it's like about them now, you know.
So he was not still the one.
Yeah.
He was
no longer
last.
The one.
We did get a scoop out of this interview.
That's right.
That's what we'll lead with headline wise for this episode. It's interesting though, because I think that you know, a hit, I don't know if you feel this way, but I know a lot of bands do. Your memory of a hit is just those early mornings, how busy your life is, the radio stations, the TV performances, the touring, etc., the music videos that might follow it. Is that what you think about when you think about Amber?
Yeah, I mean, I think of the feeling of just of how Amber, the color, is like the color of a sunset, and I wanted to make everything musically as like warm and soft as possible. So like the guitar tone that's like one, 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 like it, there's nothing harsh about it. So it was just like a whole art piece that matched the lyrics with the tones that we're hearing in there. But that was a really slow burn of a song. Like it was the third song that we put out, and we never even played it live until it had been out for a really long time, and then it just really kept going and going like a slow burn for now. It's been a decade and a half, and now all my daughter's friends are like, that's their one 311 song that they love. They like Love Song and I'll Be Here a While as well, but like that softer stuff is something that's really translated to, you know, Gen Z or whatever.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool now.
Things come around.
I think someone just talked about it on TikTok. I just saw it.
I'm just thinking, like, 311 shows must be so crazy nowadays because you do have Gen Z women that are probably like, play Amber. And then there's just, like, some Gen X dude in a baseball hat going like, when are you going to play Down?
Wow, yep. The demographics.
Oh, yeah.
There's push and pull. Yeah.
You were talking about, like, you know, the color of Amber and sort of maybe that shade of color. There's so many different shades to 311. I think it's... you guys are a unique band in that sense because everyone can have their own favorite 311 song. I mean, you even had crossover hits sort of consistently throughout your career, even leading up to Amber.
Well, we just like to say anything goes that we like in music. Mm. So besides hip hop and rock and reggae, there's jazz and funk and Latin styles and just from all over the world, whatever we like, we put it in. So we just want to not have any self-imposed boundaries and be as eclectic as possible.
I affectionately refer to on the air at K-Rock, the radio station here in Los Angeles, we play Full Bloom, and I refer to that as sort of like the 311 Megatron, because listening to it, it just feels like you guys got in the lab and were like, we're going to take every awesome element of every 311 song that everyone loves, and we're going to put it into one song. Was that how it happened or not?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying 311 on steroids, just make every part of our music better, but maybe it's Frankenstein's monster. I don't know. It's like,
it sounds amazing. You know what I mean?
It's a great sex song.
Full Bloom. Mm-hmm. Have you had sex to that?
Yes.
Have you really?
And Amber.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Has that ever happened during an interview? Yeah.
Dirty.
Talk
sex.
More about that. Have you ever heard that during an interview? You've probably been on a lot of wacky morning shows.
Yeah, I've known it's a make-out song, but so it's nice to have it confirmed.
It's cool when the doctor's like right here, though.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's like, don't you feel like, okay, do you listen, like, do you play music when you have sex?
Sometimes. I feel like the longer the relationship goes, like, if it was casual sex, almost always music. But if it's like, you know, your girlfriend of a very long time, I think you get to a point where like the intimacy is so rich that mm-hmm. you don't really need a distraction.
Yeah, I would say like if it's casual sex, you listen to like Ja Rule. If it's like long-term relationship sex, you listen to Amber. Right? Because it's more vibey.
If I ever walk by your apartment, I hear like, you know, mesmerized pouring out. I go, oh, she's getting lucky tonight. Well, Nick, the EP is out now. Waxing Nostalgic. Are you going to tour this at all? Are you going to play any like, local gigs about it? Or is it more just getting it out in the world?
Just getting it out in the world. We'll see. Just super excited for 311 Day, which it's an off year. Like every other year, we do like a huge concert on 311 Day. But this one, we'll just be kind of celebrating in our own way. And then we do our cruise and summer tour. And what's great is that we've got all this new music to play from Full Bloom, the album. So we're really excited to do like the live debut of a lot of those songs. We've got a lot of rehearsing to do to make sure we're like ready for the cruise and the shows coming up.
Definitely. Well, Nick, thank you so much for, I guess, the Muggs. Do we have a number? 13th time?
I'm saying 15.
15th. There you go. 15th time on Loveline. We'll be back with more.
Loveline.
Loveline.
With Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
We'll be right back.
It feels so good, doesn't it?
K-Rock.
We are back on Loveline. Thanks to Nick Hexum for stopping by. His new project, Waxing Nostalgic, is out now. And we also learned that Dr. Tara has had sex to two of his songs. And maybe more. You think after meeting Nick, you'd want to have sex with more of his songs now?
Yes.
Not with the songs, but to the songs.
Both.
What do you think makes a good sex song?
I think it has to have like a very sensual melody. Mm. And words have to also like match the vibe. Like,
you're thinking about the lyrics when people are having sex
sometimes,
with you?
Sometimes, especially when... Yes. Sometimes,
really?
Especially when I'm giving oral.
When you're giving oral.
When I'm giving oral, I'm listening to music.
See,
oral lectures.
But you like giving oral, right?
I do.
Okay.
I call it blow opportunity.
That's true. Sexual debut. Blow
not
opportunity.
A,
what did the
not
camera
a job.
Just say?
It's an opportunity.
A blow opportunity.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would feel like you'd want to just listen to music you like. Like if I'm doing, like if I'm working, I just want to listen to music that's like pleasant and I enjoy listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's like, what's your favorite oral song of all time?
Ooh, oh, that's a good question.
To give oral to.
I'm gonna say Snoop Dogg.
Okay. Well, that's an artist.
Can you guess which song?
Oh, what song? Well, based off what you just said, is it Sensual Seduction? Really?
I'm gonna take my time.
Man, and
this murder was the case.
Oh.
America's Most Wanted. He likes to go down on women in America.
That's very unsettling as a woman.
Now, when you're getting oral, what do you like to listen to? What's your favorite song to get oral to?
Oh, something soft. Probably like Genie in a Bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, something soft.
Okay. And then, so your partner is into like Snoop? Because I think I would lose.
No. My partner is into like Metallica.
I know, but I'm saying like he maintains excitement down there to the Snoop Dogg song.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. We're going to get some more of your questions right now. And these were sent in via social media. You can get a hold of Loveline in all sorts of different ways. Social media at I Love Loveline. You can also call, text, or leave a voicemail at 1-833-LOVE-191. All right. I'm going to try to, some of these listeners are very vulgar. This person wants to know, how can I ask my partner to let me face love them till I finish all over?
Okay, we got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Like
got enough of it.
The top Thank of your
you.
Body.
Yes,
yes.
Got it.
And
totally clear. You don't have to keep going with it.
And ask her to do what you like to do so much.
I have no idea what he just said.
I do.
So how can I ask my partner to let me face love them?
Okay.
Till I finish all over the top highest part of their body. That
the face?
Yes.
Okay.
And then ask them to ask them or basically offer them a blow opportunity.
I would say that was very hard.
That's what she said.
What? I would say have a conversation about that outside of a sexual context. Like, seriously, if you ever want to explore anything outside your, like, conventional sexual act that you already do with that partner, you need to not do it in bed or ask for it in bed because the other person will feel very, like, caught off guard and almost, like, taken advantage of the moment. So it will leave, like, bad taste. I would say talk about it outside of sex. Maybe you're having coffee, maybe you're on a hike, but like, hey, have you ever heard of this? Or like, I listened to Loveline and there was a segment about this. Have you ever thought about it? How would you feel if we do it together? Would you want to try? Make it more casual and like talk about it outside of sex.
I gagged on something the other day. I was like, there was something in my, like, I was trying to get something in my teeth and I gagged and I just thought, wow,
was it sushi?
But it was like the worst. I was like, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this feeling. It was a bit scary because I sort of like couldn't breathe for a moment. And then you think about all these people that really love that sensation on the receiving end of face love, right? Why is that? Why do some heterosexual women enjoy that?
I think it's powerful. It's like an empowering position to be in.
How is that? You can't breathe. It's like it's quite honestly the antithesis of power. Quite honestly the antithesis of control.
No, it's like the ability to give pleasure is the most.
Do you know what I'm talking
the most
about?
Powerful. Yeah, I just confirmed it with him.
Let her finish. She's going with it. She's explaining.
You are like so not in control when that happens.
Yeah, you are.
You're in control by not being in control.
How do you know, dude?
He does it regularly.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, dude.
With another man that he eats sushi off of.
By the way, it's fine if Muggs knows how to do that.
What?
No, I'm just saying, like, a disclaimer. Like, I'm not making fun of you if you know how to do that.
Yeah. Right.
It's cool.
Right.
Better not be.
No, like, that's cool good. If you know. No, I'm saying it's cool. It's like.
Next question.
Yeah. All right. Is Nick Hexum here?
Before Uber. Never mind. So you that's your answer? They're
yes.
in control?
Yes.
All right. I don't love that answer. Would you, this person asks, would you have a guide for how to make a friend? I'm in the very beginning.
You can't, okay.
Hopefully, no, I don't mean to laugh.
You can't laugh at questions.
Because some people don't have friends. A buddy of mine just went on a date with a girl and she told him on the first date she didn't have any friends.
Oh.
And no, it's tough to make friends. I know it's tough to make friends.
That's a red flag.
It's tough to make friends. But this person would like to know, Tara, how do you make a friend? In all seriousness.
How do you make a friend?
Yeah, how do you make a friend? Have you ever made a friend?
I have many friends.
Okay, so how did you... What's the last friend you made?
Yeah, sure. I think it's a legitimate question, especially if the person asking is younger and perhaps feeling a little bit unsure about themselves and like is anxious reaching out to people. I would say work on yourself first. Work on your self-confidence. Work on your self-esteem. Once your self-confidence is moderately high, then you'll be able to easily go up to people, introduce yourself, and talk about your interests and ask about their interests.
I think that's great advice.
Is that why you were laughing?
No, because I was looking at you, dude. I can't look at you. What? Hey,
that effect on many
this
men.
Is Dr. Taurus. Stop. You're talking
men?
A lot about men on this episode. I just want to. I'm just.
Oh, you didn't know he was bisexual too? There's two of us.
Whoa! He didn't say that.
Oh, he's hetero flexible. He's hetero flexible.
This radio show is going out to half of a U.S. state. Okay, so let's start there. The podcast is available around the world, and then even more people watch it on YouTube. Okay, I'm just reminding everybody.
We love it.
So this person wants to know, Dr. Tara, what is your favorite sex toy?
Ooh, clitoral vibrator.
Okay.
Yeah. Staple piece for all women in the world and men who want to please women.
Okay. Didn't you give me one of those for Christmas?
Yes.
I think. I was looking for my sunglasses today, and behind the sunglasses was that.
Very
in
good.
In the kitchen. That's where
Why
my girlfriend
is it
put,
in the kitchen?
Well, I don't know. I guess we never opened it.
You haven't used it yet?
No.
You have to use it on her
I guess
tonight.
That's probably the second most offensive thing you can do. Like, if I re-gifted that to you, that'd be pretty bad.
Terrible.
But not opening
gifted
it.
Gifted it used would be really bad.
Yeah, that's probably. So this would be third. All right. This, I don't know if you want to answer this or not. This doesn't really benefit anyone other than this guy. What size are your feet?
6.5.
Okay. This person wants to know, I kind of like not reading them beforehand. This person wants to know, hello, me and my girl, we have talked, can I just say something? And I mean this with all the love and respect. A lot of these people sound like they do not speak English. Do we think they don't speak English?
There are a lot of young people who are grammatically challenged. Like my demographics, my followers are Gen Zs. So a lot.
I think this guy's foreign. I just looked at him.
Okay.
All right. So he
Good
and his
for
gal.
Him.
He and his gal. We talked about trying anal.
Okay.
But we don't know how to start.
I would say they both should be kind of reading articles and watching some instructional videos first to get comfortable. Once you know what's going on and you know the steps, you feel much less anxious trying it. And especially for the woman, it's really hard to try it when you're anxious because your body tenses up and it makes it way worse and very not pleasurable. So watching videos, there are, I don't know if people know this, there are like instructional porn out there.
Really?
Yeah, where there are like instructors and they pause to explain the body parts.
Is that like that J-O-I stuff?
No.
That instructional stuff?
Are you talking about a sex club? Because that's a sex club.
Is it called J-O-I?
Joy, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I'm talking about...
Oh, do you frequently go there?
No. You don't know about
like ROI, return on investment?
No. We're still waiting for that when it comes to that. but no, it's a category of adult films.
There
J-O-I.
Are. No, but there are instructional porn like everywhere.
Okay.
If you just Google like instructional video how to have anal sex, like it will come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do some women like that and some women don't like that?
Because the pleasure isn't easily accessible. And so for a lot of women where they can't access it through, you know, a toy or a partner, they just feel like, if it's unpleasurable for me, why would I do it?
Well, that's what I've always said to you when you come down on me about butt stuff, is I don't want to do that.
But you haven't tried.
Yeah, but there's been enough of exploration, I feel like.
Have you tried?
On episode one.
Have you tried a finger?
We've also established last episode that Dr. Tara does not listen to Loveline.
I listen to Loveline religiously multiple times
a
day.
She does the polite thing where she's like, wow, did that really happen? And it's like, we talked about that.
She needs to chew 30 times before she listens to Loveline.
I caught that too. How many times did they make you chew something?
30 times.
So, but like, why?
About being mindful. Because like, the world is like so full of gluttony, and eating fast is a part of gluttony, and you know.
I actually need to practice
that. What's left? On like the 29th time.
Just soul, your soul.
Okay.
Movement.
So some women, sometimes I don't understand what you mean, Dr. Tara. So some women don't enjoy it. Why?
Does he ever listen to
me? No, I do, but sometimes the answers are so broad and generic. I'm like, what did
because
you say?
Because it's not the pleasure during anal sex. The pleasure isn't easily accessible.
Where do you have to go to access it? Like, if I buy tickets to anal, where is the pleasure stand?
It's, okay, so it needs, so first, the woman needs to be very warmed up, okay? So, like, the anus is, like, more, like, loose and ready to receive. The
when
person
you say that,
needs,
you mean turn her on. She should be very well turned
very,
on.
Very, very turned on.
And you can do
more
that
than
vaginally
usual.
Or any sort of
everywhere.
Way.
Everywhere.
You don't have to turn her back door on.
But you should. You should be massaging with your thumbs using coconut oil because it's antibacterial.
Okay.
Yeah, you can also engage in oral sex back there too.
Okay.
To like help her loosen up and feel more comfortable. And then before you do it, you want to use like significant amount of lube, like a third of the bottle.
So then where can you access this pleasure?
Inside.
Is it a region of the rectum?
It's
is that
a
the
part,
rectum?
Yeah. Well, it's a part of the whole clitoral network. Did you know that like the clitoris isn't just like that little spot? Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the clitoris is like just the tip of the iceberg, and then under it is kind of like a tree. Like a lot of roots, nerve endings, and a part of anal sex is also tapping into the clitoral network.
Because those nerves, that like the roots of that tree eventually are near the...
In the genitalia, yeah. And so it makes you feel the pleasure through the nerve endings.
But
so for men too. Like
some women not have that? Like
No, they have it. Some people just can't access it.
It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a mental thing. Where do you go to find polyamorous people?
Craigslist.
What were you gonna say?
Craigslist.
I don't go on Craigslist
anymore.
Back in the days,
not allowed.
Not allowed. Is he banned on?
He's not allowed to post on Craigslist, but we don't talk about that.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. So moving on. Apps like Field. Have you heard of Field?
No.
So, app. Field is like an app specifically for sex positive people and people in non-traditional relationships.
Okay.
So apps like Field, apps like FetLife, apps like Wax, WAXVRX.
What about, I had a buddy one time. He's always on like ketamine and stuff.
Okay.
He was a real interesting guy, but, he would go on, seeking arrangements.
That is different.
Okay. How is that? What is that? That's
for sugar babies.
Is it?
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of sex workers. Like, I don't think he.
Yeah, there are.
Cause he didn't have any money, this guy.
Was he attractive?
He was very charming, but he did a lot of ketamine. And then he didn't have a job and he didn't have any money, but he was always on seeking arrangements.
Was he successful?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying like I'd go
over
to his
doubt that he was successful because seeking is specifically for people, for sugar babies and like escorts.
Yeah, but you don't, escorts, there you go. So there are sex workers.
Yes.
Okay. So that sounds like probably what he was doing.
Yes.
But that's very different than all these apps you're talking about.
Yes, the apps I'm talking about are for people who are interested in non-traditional relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. Polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, monogamish, swinging. Yeah. So, like, non-traditional relationships.
Is sex work illegal?
Yeah.
So then how is that a website?
Seeking?
Yeah.
Because, to be honest, because escorts don't necessarily have sex with their clients. Okay. They just, like, occupy their time.
Hey, can I ask you a question that I was really scared to ask last week? And it's not about our guest last week.
Is it about my grandpa?
No.
Okay.
No. Rest in peace, though.
Yes.
I mean that. In general, when people have sessions with a dominatrix,
mm-hmm.
do they finish?
Not always.
But is that a thing that might happen?
It could, yeah.
Okay.
People could climax, but not always. It's not about orgasming. It's about the experience.
But the reason you're able to sort of like go on radio shows and be like, hey, like this is my job,
mm-hmm.
is because that's not really a part of...
Sometimes there's like no sex at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Well, there's probably rarely sex, right?
What was it?
There's probably rarely sex.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually impact play, psychological play, like, you know, power play.
Well, I was just thinking, you got to be like a really rich guy to spend that amount of money an hour.
You would be surprised. You would be surprised people scrape together money to go.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's fascinating too? And I say this with all the love in the world. But, you know, if you go to our social, at I Love Loveline, you'll see an amazing video we did with our dominatrix, our mistress, Damiana Chi, last week. And some of the comments on there are just really enthusiastic for men on social media. And I'm just like, is this your burner? Or are there people out there that just, like, don't care, like, about, like, do they not have a job where, like, their coworkers might see them saying some of this stuff?
BDSM is very out in the open now. It's, like, it's becoming a lot more normalized after movies like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, but if you saw, like, your friend's dad in the comments of a Loveline post being,
I'd be like,
I want to be your slave.
Love it.
You'd probably be like, is that...
Love it, dad.
You know, Terry's
slave
dad.
Slave it up.
All right. No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong.
Right.
You know, maybe I'm old-fashioned.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's very common nowadays.
Okay. This next question, how to navigate different levels of kinkiness in an otherwise perfect relationship?
Explain, like, that's all they ask?
That's all they sent in, but like I guess they're trying to navigate, you know, maybe, let's say the guy is super kinky and then the woman is not.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, let me talk about something. Maybe we should specify something here. Do you think there's two types of kinky guys these days? One guy who just needs to stop watching so much porn, and then one guy who's like legitimately kinky?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of guys that are like watching porn and think like, oh yeah, like I want to do that. Like I'm kinky because I like this, but not really. Like there are people that are truly, truly kinky and truly need certain things to get off. And sometimes it's like not these people that are watching a lot of porn.
Okay. So how would you recommend he navigate
mm-hmm.
different levels of kinkiness in his relationship that is otherwise perfect?
Yeah, I would say communicate, compromise, experiment, or outsource.
Oh, yeah. You like outsourcing.
Well, I mean, it's an option.
Right. Like, no, it is.
If you're extremely kinky and you have a specific kink that your partner, like your wife or spouse or whatever, just can't deal, but like you can't suppress that forever. That's you.
Right.
Then you need to outsource.
Totally.
Yeah.
My car is from Germany.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Why can't my girlfriend be as
my
well?
My car is from Mars.
Is it?
It's a Tesla.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works. All right. This next question. How do I get better in bed while being in a relationship?
Honestly, talking. Sexual communication. So many people in long-term relationships have never talked about sex with their partner. It's like mind-blowing. Whenever I meet people, are like, yeah, we've been together 10 years. We've never asked those questions. I'm like, what? You've never asked, like, how was our sex life this month from 1 to 10? What is something you want to try in the future? Is there something you want to explore this week? Like, you don't talk about that? And she's like, no, we've been together 10 years. We talk about everything except that. So I would say, like, talking about sex will, like, open up a lot more doors and make you feel a lot more bonded and connected.
I'm endlessly fascinated and sort of taken aback by how little people actually talk.
I know.
Because it's like...
About everything.
I'm from the East Coast.
in the specifically New York, New Jersey, and all we do is talk. Then I'm Irish. All the Irish do is talk. Then I do this for a living, where all I do is talk. So I'm going to do all I'm going to do all day is you know, effing talk, right?
Yeah. Shut up.
No.
That was your moment.
He's like, finally he admits it.
I wish you had that board so you can do, you have a small penis.
I'll do it in post.
Okay. Yeah.
It's all a cover up for that. No, and so when I'm around certain people, certain families, certain couples, or I just talk to my friends and it's like, wow, they really don't. Why do you have like the sassiest look out here? You're giving me a really interesting look right now.
Because it's the end of the segment.
I'm just not going to look at you anymore. I'm just going to look.
Really?
He's going to look straight ahead.
He is like, on one. I just want you to know at home.
I'm just listening to what you're saying.
Anyways,
sensually?
My whole diatribe there was just I'm very fascinated by how little people actually talk. I think I take talking and communication for granted. But most people are just, they don't talk.
So yeah, make sure you talk about sex, talk about finances, talk about family planning, talk about household chores, talk about everything.
In that order, like should you start with
sex first?
The Tao and then go to anal? And then, okay. I'm just, you know, playing out.
Australia. Australia, remember that?
Yes, I remember.
It's a callback from
like three good jokes he told on episode one. By the way, did you know this story? I'll tell you the story before we go. So he's in charge of the commercials for Loveline that promote the radio show, right? And so so he edits these commercials week one. And like every commercial, he gives the punchline. So if you listen to it, you'd think he's the host of the show. Like he's Johnny Carson with all these punchlines. He's edited all of these things to make it sound like he's the funniest person in the world. He had like three speaking lines in the first episode. They all made the commercial. I just want to point that out.
You're welcome.
All right. For Beer Mug, for Dr. Tara, where can people find you on social media?
At lovebites.co. That's LUVBITES.CO.
All right. Very cool. You looked right at the camera for that. That's good. It is at Beer Muggos.
The Beer Muggos.
Oh, of course, of course.
THE Beer Muggos.
Okay. If somebody DMs you from at Beer Muggos asking for your credit card information, do not give him your info. And if somebody requests you from at The Beer Muggos and asks for that same credit card information, also don't answer that guy. I am Kevin Kenny, and we will catch you next on a new episode of Loveline.